welcome everybody to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of your New York Giants, right here for you on MSG. Giants win for the sixth time in a row, beating the winless Browns in Cleveland by the score of 27-13, improving their record to 8-3. How you doing, everyone? I am Russ Salzberg, joined by my guys today, Sean O'Hara, Roman Oben, and Amani Toomer. And guys, a W is a W. You don't get style points, but you are 8-3.
Yeah, the Giants won a game that they should have won, and everybody expected them to. To me, it was all about the Giants' defense. They did a great job in the first half on the red zone, forcing them into two field goals early on. That kept the Browns basically at arm's length away. And then in the second half, the turnovers, the big plays, getting after the quarterback, that really was the story of the game.
Sean, you and I both played for the Cleveland Browns, and we know what's going on the other side of the locker room. And
those not a lot of confidence.
Those weren't some good years, by the way. But you look at the storyline going into this game. They hadn't played a true road game since October 9th. Obviously, October 21st, they were in London. 23rd, they were in London. You heard about trap game. Are they going to be ready? But you knew there was going to be a dogfight. There's still a lot of pride in Hugh Jackson's team. They just haven't gotten it together. But I was glad that the Giants were able to play a complete game. It got ugly in the middle, but towards the end, they played well, the sacks, all the things you need to do to close out a game, they were able to do those things well.
Yeah, they did close out a game, and just like you said, it's hard to play a game when you watch them on film, and then talking about the Cleveland Browns, and they don't scare you. There's nothing about the Cleveland Browns that could get you motivated. The only thing that could motivate you this week is making sure you get that eighth win and stay in place with the Dallas Cowboys, and that's exactly what they did. You know, they had a lot of mistakes, a lot of penalties. The game didn't look pretty, like you said, Roman, but at the end of the day, they came away with the W, and I think that's the biggest point of today. Get out of Cleveland with a win. You're 8-3, and you're right there keeping pace with the Dallas Cowboys.
The Giants responded every single time. Every time the Browns got close and kind of tried to make it a game, they came back. And Toom, you mentioned not scaring anybody. Well, coming into this game, Jason Pierre-Paul and Olivia Vernon, they only had 8 sacks combined. But here's what they did a great job of. And these stats right here, this is from our friends at Pro Football Focus. The quarterback disruptions is what they were doing a great job of. Jason Pierre-Paul, Pro Football Focus had him graded the third best edge rusher in the entire NFL. When you factor in the sacks, the quarterback hits, the hurries, and the batted passes, that's 51 quarterback disruptions. And Olivia Vernon on the right, you see him there with his hurries, hits, and sacks. The two of them combined, 99 quarterback disruptions. And then to transition that now, the sacks did show up. And for JPP to have 3 sacks, the forced fumble. And then for Jonathan Hankins to have the forced fumble that JPP picked up and turns out to be an interception for a touchdown, those were huge game-changing plays.
I know Jerry Reese is happy. You're starting to see the investment pay off about what you expected earlier
in
the season.
Getting a return on investment, ROI, right?
Well, you guys played the game. So let me ask you this. Roman, you alluded to being a trap game. Last week was a trap game. This must have been a sinkhole game. As a player, how nervous are you, or are you nervous about, gee, I don't want to be the first team to lose to these guys?
Well, you look, when you analyze a team on the other side, when you're watching that film all week, every team does something well. They had 2 good running backs, solid defense. They just haven't played complete games. So you respect that other team on the other side of the film room in terms of them being professionals. And, again, you don't want to be that team that lets them realize, hey, those 6-7 games we could have won in the fourth quarter, you don't want to let them say we should have been 5-5, but instead we're 0-11. But, again, you take care of your business, you prepare during the week, but then every week, guys, as you know, it gets harder and harder to focus and concentrate. You had the holidays, you had Thanksgiving, you had family, a lot of different things that could have distracted this team. But it shows really the maturity of this team. We've seen a lot of games. We've done a lot of post games where they didn't handle this well, and they end up losing. And now we're talking about how great of a game Odell Beckham had, for example, in a losing effort. So I'm glad we're past that point.
All right, Amani, here's going to be a discussion for the week. You have your best player on the team, Odell Beckham Jr., receiving punts. Some people are going to say you don't want to put him in harm's way. At the same point, do you want to give the ball to your best player to make him make plays?
I think, you know, when you're a football player, you're paid to go out there and make plays. And if they're not giving him enough opportunities with the offense, you've got to try to get him the ball any way you can. He's one person that you know who's back there, who's going to catch the football. Rainey just fumbled the ball earlier today and gave the short field to a struggling Cleveland Browns offense. So, of course, you want him touching the ball as many times as possible, in many ways as possible, maybe a little dangerous. But this is a game that you need to have, and you have to walk away getting your best players the ball, giving him opportunities to make big plays. And I think it actually sparked his momentum because towards the end of the game, he really started to feel his energy.
But we hold our breath, though. We you and I both lived through Jason Sehorn getting injured in 98.
Don't go there.
I would have rather seen Shepard return punts, to be honest, because he wasn't used either. But, again, it ended up well, and we can talk about it in a positive way.
To your point, Tom, I think Odell energizes the whole team.
Yeah,
they get fired up when he touches the football. And let's be honest, Eli was struggling early on in this game to get him the football.
Yeah.
He overthrew him a couple of times, and I think this is just an opportunity. Hey, let's get him in space. And Joe Hayden, he's a really good corner, and he's only given him one touchdown all season long coming in this game. You get Odell in space, he's running in fast forward, and nobody can keep up with him. His acceleration is so great. So you've got to give him the football as many times as you can.
I know what that feels like, that great acceleration.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Oh, the
GOAT. All right, going from offense, let's talk a little bit of defense. Check in with Paul Dottino and Jonathan Hankins.
Jonathan, officially 7 sacks for this defense. You were in on a couple. Tremendous effort by your front line today. Could you explain it?
We just came out here and tried to execute what Coach had scheduled for the game and just go out there and ball the way we should.
Second half, you guys really turned up the heat. The offense was able to get some points and put this game away, but it was tough going in the first half.
Oh, yeah, in the first half, they had a great sweet scheme plan going on. They was running the ball, passing the ball. They was doing a good job. We didn't want to come here and expect we was just going to win the game. And the Browns had a tremendous game and showed what they can do.
And then finally, held the Browns to under 60 yards rushing. This rush defense has really become locked down. What's the secret?
We just got to continue to get better each and every day and just trust one another and doing our jobs and going out there and win games.
6 wins in a row. You like that?
Yeah, we're going to keep getting them up there.
Thanks. Take care. Congratulations. Back to you guys.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Jonathan Hankins, a key part of the Big Blue defense. And, guys, what do you say we now take a look at some stats for the entire front four of that defense? And let me tell you something. The chemistry, it took them a little bit of time, but they are certainly starting to roll.
Yeah, you look at the numbers. You look at outside. Obviously, JPP at the end, big play. Hankins, you love to see it coming from all different angles. Inside, pushing the pocket. Outside guys collapsing the pocket. But, again, 4 guys playing relentless. Sean, as you know, as a center, you hate to see when the inside guys are being disrupted. That makes it all bad for offense.
Yeah, and I think when you talk to Steve Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator, to earn the right to rush the passer, you've got to stop the run. And that's what Damon Harrison did a great job of. You see the 9 tackles right there by Snacks and the forced fumble early on. That's huge. The run game for the Browns, they've struggled. But I think for the Giants defense, they did a great job stuffing that run and allowing the pass rusher to get after it.
All right, from the defense, let's now go back, talk a little bit of offense. Go back to Paul Dottino with number 80, Victor Cruz.
Well, Victor, you did it again. Another big play down the sideline. We talk about it all the time. Number's not gaudy, but you know how to get open for Eli, don't you?
Yeah, man. Every time I just try to make a play, I see the ball in the air, I want to go out and get it and make sure I make a play for my team to put us in position to score, and we did on that very next play.
Now, at the same time, it was rough going for this offense. You guys didn't have much of a running game going, and it wasn't until the second half you were able to put them away.
Yeah, that's not going to cut it for us, and we understand that as a team, and we understand we need to do better. So coming up in these coming weeks, it's not going to get any easier. So we just got to make sure we put attention to detail, make sure we come out victorious.
I don't know if you know this. You weren't around the last time the Giants won 6 in a row. This has got to feel pretty good.
It feels great, man. We just got to keep it going because we want to hoist that trophy and come January, February.
Victor Cruz, thanks for your time.
No problem. You got it.
Okay, guys, back to you.
All right, once again, your final score in Cleveland. Giants win, beating the winless Browns by the score of 27-13. A lot more coming up, including head coach Ben McAdoo. But right now, what do you say we take care of a little business? Giant fans, you want to remember to make sure you go to Adorama.com/Giants for your chance to win a Nikon D5500 DSLR camera kit. Adorama, you know, the official electronics retailer of the Giants. Again, you are watching Giants Post Game Live presented by Mercedes-Benz right here for you on MSG. So stay right where you are. A lot more coming up. So what do you say we take a look at the NFC East standings? You would certainly like to see from a Giants perspective the Giants and Cowboys reverse, but all things considered, it is a pretty good situation after the Giants today win for the 6th time in a row. Again, 27-13 was your final, beating the winless Browns in Cleveland. And listen, they're 2 games behind, and they still have a very realistic shot
of taking care of, you know, winning the division. Not easy, because you're assuming that they're going to win out, and they need help anyway. But, again, they're in position.
It goes back to everything that we've all heard in the locker rooms. It's if you take care of your business and don't worry about what the other teams are doing, it will line up itself. And I think if you look at Dallas's record, ladies and gentlemen, they will lose a game. The NFL, I mean, the fans and the internet, the Dallas is the great. They will lose a game. The Giants just have to make sure that one of those losses is when they play them here in a couple weeks. And so then that becomes two losses in the division. And then now you go from the difference between being the fifth seed or being the second or third and hosting a game or having a bye. And then that team, maybe Dallas becomes 11-5 team, whatever, that ends up being the fifth seed. So you win the division.
And they play all three of those teams. They play Dallas again. They play Philly. They play Washington week 17. So, for the Giants, it's right there in front of them. I think Washington's the one team they got to worry about, because that week 17 game, that could decide whether they get in, whether Washington gets in, or whether they both get in and what the seeding, if they're number six or number five.
I just think that, you know, the Dallas team reminds me a lot of the Giants team in 2008. We were 11-1, but we played our best football early on during the season. When we got to our last four games, we ended up losing three out of our last four games, going into the playoffs and losing to the Philadelphia Eagles. All that said is that don't focus on the records for the Giants. Focus on getting better as a team, cleaning up some of the mistakes that you made now, so that when you're able to compete at the towards the end of the year, a couple weeks when they play the Cowboys, just make sure you're playing your best football there, because they will come back to the pack. You just got to be able to be ready to perform at a really high level when that opportunity comes.
All right, so let me ask you guys this. Easier said than done, not to look ahead at the schedule, but it's human nature. Just like we're looking ahead to that Dallas game, even though they have a big game coming up next week in Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah, the Steelers, one thing they can't do, to Tomb's point, you can't flutter around in the first half. Ben Roethlisberger, the way he's playing, the way Le'Veon Bell is running the football, you're going to find yourself in a hole, down 7 points, down 14 points. You're not going to just be able to say, all right, hey, we've got to get Odell a ball and let him bail us out. So you can't play, you know, mistake football like that. They had the nice punt return by Odell, comes back on a penalty. Mm-hmm. You can't keep doing that to yourself against good teams like Pittsburgh, like Dallas, like Washington. They've gotten away the last 3 weeks because they played the Bengals, the Bears, and the Browns. You're not going to get away with that stuff moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, one thing we've seen, guys, that we haven't seen in prior years is the maturity that this team has. Winning the close games. You're seeing a 6-7-game winning streak. We haven't seen that in the last couple of years. You're seeing some just better players, more talented guys, the defensive line, you're closing games out at the end. Running game can still improve. But, look, guys, I play on a Super Bowl team that we were averaging 70 or 80 yards a game until about Thanksgiving, 100, 125 in January, about 150 on the ground at the Super Bowl. So if you're playing your best football, like you said, Imani, between Thanksgiving and Christmas for about 5 and 6 weeks, that means you're still playing in January, and that's a good thing for your organization.
One thing that they can do originally right away, clean up, it would give their team, the Giants, a much better chance of winning, is cleaning up the penalties. 9 penalties for 100 yards against a better team, that could come back to bite you towards the end of the game. But other than that, they've done pretty well in terms of cleaning up a lot of the things that we wanted to see them clean up over the last 2 weeks.
All right. Well, again, as we've been saying, 27-13 was your final today in Cleveland. Giants win for the sixth time in a row. Let's now go to the head coach, Ben McAdoo.
Haven't been on the road in a while. So, again, it's nice to get a win. We'll enjoy this one. We'll learn from it. And we got to get better next week. Open it up.
Ben, is it worrisome that you haven't been able to clean up the penalties, some of the sloppiness? I mean, what did you attribute that to?
We were tied for first in the league for the least amount of penalties enforced coming into this game. Today, 100 yards in penalties is not good enough.
You obviously won six straight games. Do you look at it as you have to get better right now, or do you sort of say, hey, we won six straight games, we're obviously doing something right here?
No, we have to get better. We believe we're going to win the game, find a way to get the game in our favor at the end. But we need to get better, getting better as the season goes on.
What do you think about how JPP played today?
Tremendous effort. Hats off. He played with tremendous effort, physicality. He was all over the field to come up with, I believe they rolled it a fumble, run it back. Great effort.
What do you attribute the offensive struggles to from most of the game?
Too many penalties for one thing. The type of game it was, I thought we had some moments where we ran the ball well. We were inconsistent there. At times pass protection was good. At times it wasn't. The way they were playing coverage, we need a little time to beat it. We had some opportunities to make some big plays in the ball game. We didn't make it, but inconsistency and penalties.
You seem to have success with the two tight ends in the backfield there on those two runs and then kind of went away from it. Why did you not stick with that?
Where we were in the ball game, we thought we could spread them out the next series. We went down and scored. I believe it was the next series. We went down and we scored, and then we were in four-minute mode after that.
Why have you stuck with that same personnel grouping so much throughout the whole season?
We feel we have some good players in that personnel group.
But do you feel like mixing it up would maybe open things up a little bit?
Certainly.
When they're playing the way that a lot of teams have played Odell, which is help over the top, but he can still beat them underneath and turn it into a big play. I mean, what's that do to a defense? And is that part of the plan? If they do that, we'll still.
Yeah, I mean, they change it up a little bit. They just don't always play man to them. Even when they cap them over the top, they'll play zone to them. So sometimes the shallow crosses aren't always great because they'll have to sit it down in there. But, you know, you just have to give the quarterback clean progressions, give him a starting point, and make sure you have a good plan for Odell going in where you can give him a chance to get some touches.
How much was the plan to get him the ball early? We saw him get, I think it was 5 targets in the first quarter alone.
We always have big thoughts on getting the ball early, middle, and late. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. You can't force it.
Why was Harrison on the offense there on the touchdown?
Say that again.
Why was Dwayne Harris in on up? You had Harris and
He was just part of the rotation there.
Very rarely he comes in those situations.
He's been nicked up, but he was a part of the rotation on that series.
Physically, Odell's hand.
We have a bunch of guys, Odell included, that are fighting through some things right now.
When you ran it on 3rd and 12, I think it was in the third quarter, was that based on just punting it because field position, you know how your defense is playing? I mean, is that what you were thinking there? Or?
Yeah, it's no reflection on whether I trust or don't trust the offense. It's more of I like the way our defense is playing. I thought we may have a chance to pop one there. We saw something on film where we may have a chance to pop one. It didn't work out.
What does it say about Harris? Say he obviously got demoted from the special teams role and then comes back to catch the offensive touchdown.
Dwayne's fighting through some things right now. I wouldn't say he got demoted from anything. We have confidence in him on special teams, obviously, and on offense.
What do you think of Odell as a punt returner?
Electric.
Something you.
Any concern, though, about exposing him to additional hits in that role?
He had an opportunity to get his hands on the ball. I like when he has an opportunity to get his hands on the ball. He's sure-handed back there. And, he's electric with the ball in his hands.
Something you do going forward, you think?
Yes, Ben McAdoo. Amani, Odell Beckham Jr. certainly is electric with the ball in his hands. But let me ask you this. Yeah. As a receiver, Sterling Shepard today, no targets. How does something like that happen?
Well, I think it happens because you want to get Odell Beckham the ball, and that's the priority. Shepard is a great player. He's a young player developing, but he's maybe not in the game plan as much. Or maybe the Cleveland Browns said, hey, this guy scored a touchdown in the last 3 games. We're going to try and force Eli Manning to go in a different direction and not go to Sterling to get a touchdown today. Maybe we'll make somebody else. But it's one of those things that, if you keep playing, it's going to happen to everybody. There's been plenty of games where Odell's been the exact same way. Touchdowns, catches, touches, targets, it all goes in cycles, and you just got to ride the wave when you're on one of them.
And you know what? Nobody seems to care when the result is a W, and the Giants got that W today. Again, final score 27-13 in Cleveland. All right, let's take care of a little bit of business. Guests of our post-game show receive a gift certificate to Ben and Jack's, located on 5th Avenue at 28th Street in Manhattan. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood anywhere, Ben and Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. A lot more coming up, including the quarterback Eli Manning. So stay right where you are. You are watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here on MSG. All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here for you on MSG. We know what the game looked like watching from here on television. What do you say we find out what it looked like watching from the sidelines? For that, let's go back to Cleveland, check in with Paul Dottino and Howard Cross. Guys?
Well, you know, Russ, this was a very heavy Giants crowd. And as Howard and I were standing on the sidelines, especially in the second half, whenever the Giants made a play to steal a momentum, you heard, "Let's go, Giants." And I really think that helped this team in the second half.
I did. I think it helped them avoid the trap. It was more like a home game for them instead of a road game. There were more Giants fans here, obviously, than Cleveland Browns fans. So that helps a lot in the momentum. And when you're trying to get yourself up and get excited, look up and see your fans in the stands, helps you out.
Yeah, definitely fed down to the players on the bench. Now, a couple guys we want to talk about. Odell Beckham Jr., who had actually jammed his thumb early in this game and had to come out for a short time, then went back into the game, finished with the 6 grabs for 96 yards, the 2 touchdowns, the return that was pulled back. But you know what, Howard? It was the yards after the catch that made him special today.
You know what? He did some of everything today. He added another layer to things for players to worry about on other teams. If he starts returning the ball in the punt game, it's just going to be a nightmare for guys. And I'm going to tell you something. When he's returning the ball, the punt team, the return team, blocks better. They get more excited because he's back there. Nothing against anybody else, but they get really excited when Odell's back there.
Guys, you were talking about how Shepard didn't get the targets or the catches today. Cruz only had one catch. You know what? That's because they were rolling coverage the other way. They had Hayden man-to-man on Beckham virtually the whole day. He did a pretty solid job, but then again, it's that yards after the catch they couldn't stop.
You know what you got to do in a situation? If you have a cornerback that you think can cover Odell one-on-one, you just play him one-on-one. And you double the other side to slow everybody else down. If he can't cover him one-on-one, that's when you have an issue. Well, unfortunately for them, he couldn't cover him one-on-one.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the defensive line, I want to talk about this, too. The Giants came up with 3 defensive takeaways, 7 sacks for that defensive line. JPP, again, a monster. 3 sacks, the interception for a touchdown, a forced fumble. What more can he do? That's the 3rd time, by the way, he's run back a pick for a touchdown in his career.
JPP played outstanding. Big Hank played outstanding. Olivier Vernon had sacks in the game. Snatch was disruptive all over the field. So it was a little bit of everybody. Everybody who put their hand in the dirt made a play today.
Yeah, you mentioned Snacks. Outstanding. Staying in the rushing game, again, the Browns, another opponent that could not get 100 yards rushing against the Giants. And how about Hankins now? Because we don't talk about his pass rush all that much, but he was the guy who got his hand on McCown's arm that resulted in the JPP interception that really blew the game open.
I'm telling you, these guys were all over the place. For big guys, they were covering a lot of space and a lot of ground, moving around, making plays, reaching in, grabbing balls, getting to the quarterback. The big thing is, push up, pressure up the middle. It's great for the guys on the outside to do the bubble, but pressure up the middle makes a big difference.
All right, great stuff here from the Giants. Their 6th consecutive regular season win. How would you believe it? They haven't done that since 2008.
It's been a while, but I like where they're heading right now.
All right, let's send it back to New York.
All right, Paul Dottino and Howard Cross, thank you very much. A lot more coming up here, folks. We're going to hear from Eli Manning, Odell Beckham Jr. But right now, what do you say we take a look at the Giants programming coming up this week on the MSG networks? All right, welcome back once again to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Right now, let's go right back to Cleveland, check in with number 90, Jason Pierre-Paul, at the podium.
All right, thank you very much.
What's it feeling like when the ball's floating in the air? It's nothing but you in the end zone.
I knew one of these days I was going to catch that ball. Hank did a great job on the, you know, on the sack fumble, and I seen the ball in the air, and I just caught it, and it was nothing but an end zone for me.
It's your first touchdown since you, you know, came back with the hands. Is that something you even think about at this point, or?
I'm just blessed to catch a ball, man. You know, I'm just out here playing football, some great ball. That's all it is to it.
The original rule was the interception that chased it to a fumble.
It's an interception, man. How else can you get 7 points? The ball never touched the ground, so we'll call it an interception.
Yeah, after not practicing during the week, did you feel to have a game like this? How did you feel?
It was all mental for me. Fight injuries, but the mental part, came in big time. I paid attention. I didn't necessarily go out there on Saturday. I practiced. But it actually helped big time for me to come out here and have a good game.
You
You had a good season, but what do you think it is these last two games? How you kind of raised
it? I think we just take it one by one. You know, me individually, you know, I'm just trying to get better. There's a lot of mistakes that I did I could probably correct, which I am going to correct. Got to come back and look at the film Tuesday, make my corrections, and move on to the next game.
How much do you feel like you're playing better these last couple of weeks? Does it feel like that to you?
Yeah, as the season goes on, man, you only get better. It can't get worse. Now you have to get better.
You don't have to.
You have to. For me, you have to get better.
Why do you think the sack doubles, not just for you, but for everybody who started to pile up these last couple of games after this?
We just trust in each other, communication. We got great communication out there. Coach Spags, you know, calling the plays, the right plays to get us in position to make those sacks, make those interceptions. My defensive line coach, Pat, he does a great job of the breakdown of the run-in pass game. It's just a communication.
After they got within seven and the offense comes down and scores, and you know, after you guys have bailed them out a lot of times, what was that like for you guys to see the offense come down, go right back down, and go up two?
No, I feel like no matter whenever our offense click, they're going to click. You know, until then, we'll hold them down with our defense, you know, our defensive play, which we are doing very well. When all three phases get together and start doing some good things, it's going to be trouble. You know, but right now, we're holding it down.
You know, just looking at JPP there at the podium, he looks like a guy who's exuding confidence. And, fellas, I don't know about you. I know I did. I'm sure a lot of other people had their doubts. Would this young man be able to come back blowing up his hand less than a year and a half ago? I actually think he is all the way back.
Well, I think you could see it in the way that he plays. He's playing for the love of the game again. And I think last year he was just battling, just trying to get back on the field, just trying to prove to himself that he could still play. This year is a totally different JPP. He's using both hands. He's playing the run just as well as he is the pass. And I think that's why you see him lined up over that left defensive end position, because now he can finally use both hands. He can attack blockers, take them on with both hands, and it's showing up. I think the defense now, with the way that they're playing, the way they're stopping the run, now they're getting after the quarterback. This is huge, especially turning around. You think next week they got to do it to Big Ben Roethlisberger. He's a tough guy to bring down as a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at JPP again, Russ. You said this, what he's been through the last year and a half or so. I describe it as addition by subtraction. So you look at what he lost, the accident, all the things he's been through, but he's a better leader. He would ask a question about the offense. He's saying, listen, offense will come through. They'll continue to get better. We just got to play better on defense, help the team. That's a guy that's being a team player, and that may not have been the JPP we heard 2-3 years ago, and I'm not saying this happened, but he's worried about the contract. He wanted to get paid. Now it's he's being a team player, and he's being a complete defensive end. And Steve Spagnuolo is putting him in a position to succeed, which is very important.
I think a lot of the concern last year was, you know, the hand. And, you know, in fairness to him, he played with that club not because he wanted to. The hand needed protection last year.
Without time to heal.
I think he was in pain.
Yeah.
Not even time to heal, though. I mean, you talk about being out of football shape. I mean, you have to continuously work out and do things to get yourself ready to take on that contact. And he's out for the majority of last season trying to just rehab as opposed to getting better and getting into great shape. He's just trying to get his hand back and trying to get his body back. So it's an entirely different animal for this offseason. He, from the Bears game last week in the fourth quarter when he kind of took over to now, he is really playing at another level, and that's JPP.
Yeah, we've all been through injuries, guys. And, you know, it's that year one, you recover from the injury, you're fighting through it. Year two is when you really, your body adjusts, and then now you start to play football again. So it is a two-year process, and we're seeing now the JPP that's recovered from this injury, and now he's going back to his rear. Even if he's at 90% of what he was, it's still better than most defensive ends in the National Football League.
Well, he's certainly looking very, very good. Folks, we got a lot more coming up. Eli Manning, Odell Beckham Jr., Janoris Jenkins. But right now, remember, you are watching Giants Post Game Live presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the Giants, right here for you on MSG. Hello again, everybody. I'm Ross Salzberg. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Right now, let's go back to Cleveland, check in with Paul Dottino and the Jackrabbit, Janoris Jenkins.
All right, guys, thanks so much. And, you know, Janoris, I got to tell you, three more takeaways by this defense today. It's becoming infectious. What is the secret? I know they say sometimes they're luck, but clearly you guys are doing something to get that ball away.
Oh, man, everybody around the ball all at one time, and Coach said when they come, they're going to come in bunches. And as y'all can see, they started coming in bunches.
Your defensive line is really playing lights out over the course of the last month or so during this winning streak. Mm-hmm. Explain to the people how much that helps. Again, you're talking about a Browns team that couldn't get, what, more than 60-something yards rushing today.
Right. I mean, you know, the defensive line, man, that was a big part of the defense. Everything started up front with those guys. And I mean, it's just amazing to see the pressure that they can get and the run stop that they're available to come up with. And we just got to keep working on the back end and just keep gelling as a defense.
14-6 game at halftime. Still pretty darn tight. Third quarter still tight. You guys continued to hold the fort right. to give the offense and the special teams a chance to finally win this thing in the fourth quarter. Another incredible job about the resiliency of this defense.
Oh, man, it's just about being humble. We understand that there's going to be situations in the game where the offense may not move the ball right then or the special teams, but as a defense, we understand that we got to have each other back and just keep playing.
You seem to thrive on that.
Oh, man, yeah, we got a lot of energy because that give us more opportunities for more turnovers.
Janoris Jenkins, congratulations. Thank you.
Appreciate it, my man.
All right, back to you guys.
All right, Paul Dottino and Jack Rabbit, thank you very much. From defense, let's now go to offense. Check in with number 10 at the podium, Eli Manning.
Yeah, you know, we needed that last drive. They, you know, their defense played outstanding all day. They had a good plan for us to slow us down, and Odell had a couple opportunities early we missed on, but you know, we had, you know, we didn't drive the ball very well today. Had a couple big plays and kind of a big play. That's what we needed. You know, we tried a couple opportunities, didn't get some, but on that, you know, game got within seven. They had a little momentum going, and you know, hit a couple big plays. Hit Odell down the middle, then hit the reverse for a nice play, then get the touchdown right there. So big time to step up in that moment and get the touchdown and kind of put the game out of reach.
How much were you focusing on getting Odell involved right from the start? You targeted him, I think, six times in the first quarter.
You know, always have kind of plays to try to get him the ball where, you know, may go his way. So just a lot of it depends on the coverage, on what's going on. But he's a playmaker, and, you know, good things happen when the ball ends up in his hands. You know, example on the punt return, have him back there, and, you know, good things tend to happen. So we got to find ways to keep him in the game, and teams are in, obviously, game plan to try to slow him down and prevent catches. And so we got to take advantage and you know, be creative and try to find ways for him to get the ball.
What was the issue with not being able to connect with him early? Seemed like a few times, you guys.
Yeah, just, you know, just bad throw on a go route down the middle. Kind of had another one that was down the sideline. Another one down the middle. Just he was just a little quicker than I thought. You know, he'd be able to get into that route. So kind of had a little double move, and he won so quickly. I just wasn't quite ready. So you know, besides that, you know, eventually, you know, got him the ball a few times, and you know, to make some plays.
You showed some frustration early in the fourth quarter after one of those drives didn't work out on the sideline. I'm curious how tough it was for you today, kind of navigating everything and but still pulling it out when it mattered there.
Yeah, it was just tough. It was tough to move the ball consistently. So, you know, they had a, you know, they had a good plan for us. Trying, you know, they didn't, you know, kind of showed a lot of the same looks, and it was just you know, tough to tough to make some plays. You know, had some opportunities, had some, you know, looks to make some. We had to come up with them. So it was one of those days where they're, you know, kind of giving us some shots down the field, and you got to hit. We hit a couple of them, but we got to be able to hit more of those, and you know, be able to find completions, be able to, you know, run the ball consistently, move the ball a little better than we did today.
People talk about all the different receiving options you guys have. To have a guy like Harris to throw that fade to him, is that just another? Well, what did you think of a guy like that making that play?
Yeah, you know, Dwayne, you know, he's come in and made plays for us, a lot of plays last year, but, you know, kind of bringing him in for special situations, really brought him in for the play before, had a little bootleg trying to sell run when he gets in there, so he stayed in. And had you know, a good job by him knowing the play, knowing what to do, and kind of based on the coverage, that was my first read and went to it. He did a good job making the play.
What's this feeling? You guys have won six in a row, but the offense still, you know, hasn't clicked.
Well, we just got to, hey, you know, it's just about finding ways, and you know, we're kind of we're striking, we're hitting some big plays. We're just not, you know, dinking and dunking and having the long drives like. You know, like you want to sometimes. So, hey, we got to keep, keep taking shots and, you know, teams are going to give us, you know, certain things. They're playing certain things to try to take away Odell, you know, take away some of our passing game. We just got to, you know, stay with it and keep you know, keep making some of those big plays.
Eli, some of your teammates.
All right, speaking of those big plays, you know, sometimes when we're watching, I think we get teased a bit. We see big plays, certainly Odell, Victor Cruz today. But I think we're yet to see this season a complete game where defense, offense, special teams, everybody in totally harmony, where it's a complete game and, if you will, a blowout.
Well, the Giants have done a good job of finishing games, both on offense and on defense. They did a great job finishing the first half. I thought the drive that Eli orchestrated right there at the end of the second quarter was huge, getting a touchdown, going in to the half 14-6 with that lead. To me, the issue is the start. You can't start the game the way that the Giants did. All right, they had four straight punts. Yeah. They had 6 3 and outs in this game altogether. The start of the third quarter was awful. So they're finishing games. They're doing a good job finishing halves. But they've got to do a better job of starting. You can't come out and against good teams and start out 3 and out, 3 and out, put your defense back out there. That's one area that they can improve on.
Yeah, and as you get towards this part of the season, guys, we all know this. Defenses get tighter. Guys are being more competitive. People are trying to play for playoff spots. Guys are trying to play to keep their jobs, head coaches included. And so you want to see the running game improve. I mean, so they've won games and they've gotten on the streak, but there's always something missing. So you hope the running game continues to improve. You saw Adam Gettis in there fight his butt off at guard. You hope to see Pugh come back. The line gets better. Running game gets better. And Eli Manning has reached a point in his career, 195 starts, where he deserves to be standing upright, handing off the ball, finding his receivers down the line. So this is what you expect to see. And, again, you hope that they're peaking at the right time, at the most critical time of the season.
And also their offensive line, I think, is part of the reasons why they're running the ball a lot better than they were. Only gave up one sack for 2 yards today. I think that I don't know if that's because the Cleveland Browns don't have much of a pass rush or the Giants' offensive line's coming together. But couple that together with the Giants rushing for 100 yards today and having 3.9 yards per rush, which is where you want to be. You want to be around 4, but 3.9 is acceptable. So I think that, you know, things are coming together. This time of year, your running game has to start coming along. I think Rashad Jennings and Perkins are doing well.
Three straight games with 100 yards.
So it's going pretty well in terms of offensively, you know, doing the little things that's going to open up the offense for big plays down the road.
All right. Pretty well indeed, but right now you want to stick around. You're going to want to find out who is the toughest player of the game as driven by the Hess Toy truck and Odell Beckham Jr. So stay right where you are. All right, time now to reveal the toughest player of the game driven by the Hess Toy truck.
No shocker.
And not at all. Your winner is number 90, Jason Pierre-Paul. There you see him, 7 tackles and 3 sacks. I mean, 1 touchdown. He is, like we were saying before, he is indeed all the way back. Good to see JPP all the way back indeed. But right now, let's go back to Cleveland, check in with number 13, Addis Locker, Odell Beckham Jr.
Odell, after the Browns closed to 20-13, what was the mindset on your side of the ball?
Just got to win, got to score. We found a way to get in the end zone one more time. Defense helped us out. JPP took one back, and that was great to see. But just got to find ways to finish the game on the field on offense. Again, you know, we had a 2-minute drive. We have an opportunity to not put the defense back on the field, and it's something that we have to work on. You know, that's going to be effective down the road. So just find a ways to close them out.
The long pass you caught on that drive preceding your second touchdown, the 40-something yarder, you talk about that play?
It was just a good check. You know, they're playing too high. The safeties are wide. He kind of checked to a double move. Felt like I should have got out of there and scored. But, you know, it was a good call.
And the touchdown, the second one?
We just caught him in a shallow, and it kind of just turned into a foot race. It's something that's very hard to cover when you're running across the field full speed. And he just hit me on the run, and Vic had a crazy block in the end zone, holding that man up. That way I can get in there. So I already told him I appreciate him for allowing me to get in there.
How would you sum up overall today? Some people are calling this a winning ugly or whatever.
Hey, whatever it is win is a win. Just got to find ways to, like I said, not put the defense back on the field, close these games out ourselves, and take steps as an offense. I don't think we took a step back today, but I definitely think we could have taken a bigger step forward. So we got time. We got time. A couple more games left, and you know, now it's time to progress this week.
Odell Beckham Jr., no question about it, one of the most exciting players in the entire National Football League. All right, we've got more coming up before we wrap things up. But right now, a reminder, you don't want to forget that it is this Tuesday night, 11 p.m. on MSG. It's Giants Life featuring Devon Kennard.
For me, this is kind of where it all began. And, man, I remember just all the practices, all the blood, sweat, and tears I put into, you know, these fields. And you know, every time I come here, it's kind of a really touching feeling for me, because it's where, you know, all my dreams started to come true.
All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. There you see the remaining schedule for your New York Giants with the record of 8-3. And listen, we know that big game coming up on Sunday night, the 11th, but they certainly cannot look past, as you said earlier, Sean, the Steelers.
Well, the well-rested Steelers. They played on Thanksgiving. They're going to have 10 days preparation for the Giants defense. They've got to keep up what they're doing well. They're not giving up a lot of points in the fourth quarter. Coming in this game against the Browns, they've given up 6 total points in the fourth quarter in 4 games combined. They did give up a late touchdown there, but they've got to do, if they can do that and continue with this great red zone defense, they got a shot to beat the Steelers.
Yeah, and you look at the schedule, guys, there are no 0-11 teams remaining here. These last 5 games, everyone's either trying to cement their playoff hopes or climb up in that top 6 ranking. And you got 2 road games to end the playoffs at the very end. So all the chips are on the table right now.
Absolutely. This is a big game next week to get the 9 if they can beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. And I think that would also send a message to get this ball rolling. This is the push. This is the playoff push. They have to come and play their best football at this time of year. And the Cowboys are still within reach. Do not give up on the division. There's a lot of football left to play.
And just to add a little spice, that Pittsburgh game will be a very much more interesting should the Vikings be able to knock off your Dallas Cowboys on Thursday night. All right, that is a wrap here. Our thanks to my colleagues, Sean O'Hara, Roman Oben, and Imani Toomer, and the entire crew doing the show. We thank you for watching. You've been part of Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here for you on MSG. We will see you next week. Again, Giants, 27-13 winners over the winless Browns in Cleveland. Group improved their record to 8-3. It's going to be a fun ride the rest of the way. Make sure you stay with us, folks. Have a good week.